You're listening to the Golem Institute podcast series, The Rawi Gems, by Mufti Hussein Kamani. Golem is pleased to announce the Hadith Intensive, an immersive study into the science of Hadith and Sunnah. For more information, visit goleminstitute.org/hadith. And Jazakallah khair for listening.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأسجياء وأصحابه الأتقياء أما بعد. Today in the recitation we recited a very beautiful verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Under the tafsir of this verse, there is a narration quoted from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam invited Wahshi to Islam. Now, for those of us who are not aware of who Wahshi was the person who had killed the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib, in the Battle of Uhud. Hamza radiallahu anhu was fighting on behalf of the Muslims, and from the other side, Wahshi was fighting. And his master had told him that I will set you free if you kill Hamza radiallahu anhu. Now at this time, Wahshi was not a Muslim, and he was a slave. And like any slave, the one thing that mattered most to him was freedom. So for him, this was a chance, an opportunity to leave slavery and to be a free person. So he says, I arrived in the Battle of Uhud to not kill anyone other than Hamza radiallahu anhu. And he carried his spear sharp and ready to fire, looking for the opportunity to find Hamza radiallahu anhu. Hamza radiallahu anhu was one of the closest people to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought Islam to people, from the people who were his relatives, from his uncles, the only person that had actually accepted Islam was Hamza radiallahu anhu. Kind of like from the generation of his father, from his father's brothers, the only one that had accepted Islam at that point was Hamza radiallahu anhu. Later on, right, close to the conquest of Makkah, Abbas radiallahu anhu accepted Islam. And these were the two uncles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who accepted Islam. An interesting point is that the other two uncles who lived during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were Abu Lahab and Abu Talib. These were the two. Abu Lahab and Abu Talib. The scholars, they say that if you look at their names, just the names of Abu Lahab and Abu Talib, their actual names were, according to some, was Abdullah and Abdul Uzza. Abdul Lat and Abdul Uzza, which means the slave of Lat, which was one of their idols they used to worship, and the slave of Uzza, which was another one of their idols they worshipped. So the scholars, they derive a very interesting point from here. They say that these two had shirk in their name, so they died out of Islam. And the other two uncles that had purity in their name, Hamza and Abbas, they ended up accepting Islam. And out of all the brothers, the one who had Allah in his name ended up being the father of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdullah. They mentioned this under the discussion of the powerful impact that names have on a person. So Hamza radiallahu anhu was the one that was very close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was from the uncles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yet he was similar age to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Him and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had actually nourished from the same lady. There was a lady who had nursed Hamza radiallahu anhu, and that very same lady ended up also nursing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So from one perspective, through nursing, they were actually
brothers
as well. But at the same time, their blood relationship was that Hamza radiallahu anhu was a paternal uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had many sahaba around him, but Hamza was special because he was family, and he was very close, and he was very courageous. He was always there to stand by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He gave Hamza radiallahu anhu a very beautiful title. Anyone know what he called him? He called him Asadullahu Asadu Rasuli. Wa Hamzatu Asadullahu Asadu Rasuli. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Hamza is the lion of Allah and the lion of the Prophet. You know what kind of courage that is? That's greater than holding any UFC title, my friends. That's greater than holding any WWF title. That's greater than holding any fighting title that you can ever imagine. The Prophet is saying, Asadullah wa Asadu Rasuli. Now this Hamza radiallahu anhu was martyred in the Battle of Uhud. And when he passed away, this had such a big impact on the Prophet. The Prophet became so sad. He became so sad when he heard Hamza radiallahu anhu had passed away that he actually took an oath that I will take revenge from 70 of them in return of the one Hamza they killed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed the ayah that this is not permissible. You can't take revenge from 70 in return of one. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after burying Hamza radiallahu anhu, Hamza radiallahu anhu and the shuhada of Uhud were all buried in the battleground of Uhud. If you go there till today, you'll find a small little graveyard there. People go there to visit. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam every so often would come there and stand at the grave of Hamza radiallahu anhu, and he would cry and cry and cry. Now many years later, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam receives news that Wahshi, the one who killed the Prophet's uncle, he is interested in Islam. But he's afraid that if he comes to Medina Munawwara, the Prophet will take revenge for him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends a messenger to Wahshi and says, Wahshi, I am calling you, come here in peace. So Wahshi comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to Wahshi that, would you like to accept Islam? He said, O Messenger of Allah, I am willing to accept Islam, but the problem is that your Quran says that any person that kills, any person that does shirk, any person that commits adultery, يَلْقَ أَثَامًا يَلْقَ أَثَامًا يُضَاعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَيَخْلُدْ فِيهِ مُهَانًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that person will fall into sin, and the punishment for him, يُضَاعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, the punishment for him will be multiplied many folds, وَيَخْلُدْ فِيهِ مُهَانًا, and he will remain inside that punishment for eternity while being disgraced. So he said, O Messenger of Allah, if this is what the Quran says about a man who's done shirk, that's me. A man who's killed, that's also me. And a man who's done zina, وَلَا يَزْنُونَ, I've also done zina as well. If that's my abode in the hereafter, then why should I accept Islam? So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayah for the Prophet ﷺ, then recited the ayah that Allah says after that, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ. Right? وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, however, that punishment will be removed from those who believe, repent, and do good deeds. So Wahshi said, O Messenger of Allah, I can believe, I can repent, but I can't guarantee I'm going to do good deeds. Does that mean I'm still going to go to the fire of hell? So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited to him the ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. That Allah will pardon even your shirk. Allah will pardon everything, if He wills. So then he said, O Messenger of Allah, that means I become Muslim, I work all my life in doing good deeds, but at the end of the day, yasha, if Allah doesn't will, I'll go to the fire of hell. So he said, O Messenger of Allah, give me some guarantee that Allah will forgive all of my sins that I've committed before I accept Islam. So then the ayah was revealed, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Now when you look at this verse is so powerful. Before I translate it, Ali radiallahu anhu used to say, this is the most encompassing verse of the Qur'an. This is one verse of the Qur'an that opens the doors for everyone. This door right here is a floodgate opened up for every person who wishes to be soaked in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you just look at the language used inside this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is talking to those who have disobeyed Allah. He is talking to those that have sinned. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the sinners, you find Allah's mercy in this ayah. The way Allah addresses them, you know, if you were angry at someone, if someone was your enemy, would you ever call that person with an honorable title? Never, right? Just for example, Aisha radiallahu anha, I will use her example. Aisha, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Aisha, Aisha, you know when you're angry with me and you're happy with me, I know. When you're angry with me, I know. When you're happy with me, I know. She said, O Messenger of Allah, how do you know? He said to her that when you're happy with me, you say, by the Lord of Muhammad, you take an oath by my name, right? By the Lord of Muhammad. And when you're angry with me, you say, by the Lord of Ibrahim. Just in your words, I become so distant. You know, in our culture too, if the father is happy with his child, he says, Dekho mera beta, look, my son. And if the son messes up, he says, Tumhare bete ko sambhalo, that take care of your son. Just a small little thing, something that happens, and they immediately change the attribution. That no longer mine, yours, yours, mine, yours. We change the attribution so quickly. We like to distance ourselves from people who have done wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't distance Himself from us even if we sin. No matter how much we sin, no matter how much we darken our hearts and rust grows on our hearts, no matter how far we go from Allah, even a person who doesn't believe in Allah, Allah still doesn't distance that person. Allah still says with love, Ya ibadi, O my slave, O my servant. Even if you don't understand you're my servant, you're still my servant. Even if you do sajda to someone else, you just don't get it, it's okay. I'll still overlook that. You're still my servant. You know, Ya ibadi. Allama Rumi rahmatullahi alayhi, he mentions this very interesting story. He says there was a man who used to do the shirk. He used to worship multiple gods. And he went inside a mountain and he had a little cave. Inside the cave, he had an idol. and he sat in front of the idol doing dhikr of the idol. In Arabic, we call idol sanam. Sanam means idol. He sat in front of the idol saying sanam, 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 sanam all his life. And one day, while he was saying sanam, his tongue accidentally slipped and he said, Ya Samad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called out to him saying, Ya Abdi, ma taqul. Oh my servant, what do you say? So Allama Rumi says that that person called his idol for all those years and the idol didn't respond. And one day, just by accident, instead of sanam, he said, Ya Samad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, my servant, tell me what do you want? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the hadith al-Qudsi, إِنَّكُمْ تُخْطِئُونَ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَأَنَا أَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Oh my servants, indeed you sin by the day and the night, and I will forgive all of your sins. فَاسْتَغْفِرُونِ أَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. But you have to come and ask me. That's the only thing. I am al-mutakabbir. I am al-ghani. I don't need you. I love you, but I don't need you. You have to come to me. And if you come to me, I'll always be here waiting for you. Like for example, a mother and a child. If the child upsets the mother, sometimes the mother may say, hold the child by the hand and say, get out of my house. But if the child leaves, what happens to the mother? She becomes sad and she sits on the doorstep waiting for her child to come back. She waits and waits. And before the child even comes back home, when the child starts making his way back home, when the mother can see from a distance that that's my child over there, the mother runs to the child. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in a hadith al-Qudsi that if you come to me, one shibr, one hand span, I will come to you one dhira', one arm's length. And if you come to me walking, أَتَيْتُكَ هَرْوَلَةً, I will come to you running. Because that is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in that ayah, يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Oh my servants who have done wrong to themselves, who have transgressed themselves, who have committed so many sins that now you feel like you are so far from Allah that you can never connect with Allah. Are there any of us sitting here today who feel that we've sinned so much throughout the year that we are no longer even worthy of doing sajda in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then when we are called for umrah and hajj, we're standing in front of the Kaaba in shock saying, Ya Allah, it wasn't me that was worthy of this umrah or hajj. How many of us sitting here when we fast in the month of Ramadan, when Ramadan comes to an end, you ask yourself a question that, Ya Allah, was I even worthy of this Ramadan? Why are you loving me so much? Why are these favors coming down upon me? You know, I'm not lying to you, honestly. 2 days ago I was sitting at home, and I was terrified. I was sitting at home and I was terrified. You know why I was terrified? Because I was flipping through my newsfeed on my Facebook and I saw what was happening to the kids in Palestine. And when I saw what was happening to them, what I was terrified for, when I said, Ya Allah, what am I deserving of this right now? What did I do that I'm deserving of this? It scares me. But what if tomorrow this was to happen to me? These people had iman, at least they died on iman. But what's going to happen to me? I don't have anything to present in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh my servants that have done yourself wrong. Shaitan is trying to take you away from me and make you feel like you're far away from me. Because maybe you don't pray your salah, maybe because you don't follow the sunnah, maybe because you've done wrong. Shaitan makes you feel like you're too far from Allah. But you can never be far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, I'm always close to you. أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ, closer to you than your jugular vein. Just as your jugular vein cannot be parted from you, you'll die. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you can't distance your Lord from you either, because you'll also die without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then continues on, أَلَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Oh my servants, never be despondent of Allah's mercy. Never believe Allah has left you. Allah has never abandoned you. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَىٰ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your Lord has not abandoned you, neither is your Lord angry with you. This is our opportunity to once again connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are in the middle 10 days of the month of Ramadan. These are the days of maghfirah. Today is already Tuesday. You know, believe it or not, we're going to blink and tomorrow is going to be Thursday Maghrib Salah. And someone will call out by saying that the middle 10 days of Ramadan have now passed. They're gone. The days of maghfirah are gone. And we'll be sitting down looking at ourselves and asking, did we even ask Allah for His forgiveness? So my dear brothers and sisters, it is our opportunity to run to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Beg Allah to change our lives. Ask Allah that, Ya Allah, I'm tired of this. What if our sins, what if our filthy lives end up transcending into our kids? What if our kids end up becoming who we are? What's going to happen to them? Ya Allah, what's going to happen to this ummah? What future will this ummah have if everyone in the ummah becomes like me and if everyone in the ummah becomes like you? Ya Allah, forgive us. We raise our hands in front of Allah and we ask Allah. I promise you Allah will never turn you away. And if anyone believes that Allah will turn them away after they ask Allah, then that in itself is disbelief. إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, but except for the disbelievers, no person is ever despondent of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers and sisters, never be despondent of Allah's mercy. Don't let anyone tell you that you aren't good enough to be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because just as I have 100% shares in this deen, you also have 100% share in this deen. It's not like I own 60% and you own 40% because you have a shorter beard than I have. No. You have 100% shares in the deen because you are an ummati of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I also have 100% shares in the deen because I am also an ummati of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Realize your connection with Allah. And the day you realize how close you are to Allah is the day you'll start asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you stop asking people and start asking Allah, the doors of mercy will open up and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower His mercy upon you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, in Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Allah will forgive all of your sins. Everything. Things that you've done that you think you can never be forgiven for, Allah will forgive you for that. You know, one young man came to me once, he said to me, Sheikh, I committed a big sin. You know, I was a good person, I took care of myself all these years. Then one day I met the sister, and then before I knew it, I had committed a sin that now I'm disgusted with myself. And I fear that what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry with me and I can never get close to Allah again. So I said to my friend, let me tell you one thing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith that if you were not to commit sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would remove you as a nation. Bring a nation that would commit sins, and then they would ask Allah for forgiveness. Because committing sins is a part of our weakness. But where we have a weakness as Muslims, we also have a strength. And our strength is to stand up strong and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And build a connection with Allah. You know, when you learn to ask from Allah, when you realize how close you are to Allah and how close Allah is to you, that's when you'll enjoy the sweetness of Iman. That's when you'll enjoy sitting down saying Subhanallah, because you'll know that Allah is listening to you while you're saying Subhanallah. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that when a person does the dhikr of Allah, that person is then remembered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Fadhkuruni, adhkurkum. You remember me, I'll remember you. Washkuruli wa la takfurun, and be thankful and never be ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the next verse, He says, Wa anibu ila rabbikum. I invite all of you to return back to me. Anaba means to return back. I invite everyone to turn back to Allah. Everyone come back to Allah. But the thing is that there is a limit. You can only come back to Allah, you can only say sorry, you can only make tawbah until the angel of death comes. Because once he comes, once that moment happens where the angel of death catches you, ثُمَّ لَا تُنْصَرُ, then you won't be helped. You know, there is a story that the Mufassirin, they mention of a man who used to worship Allah abundantly. And they don't mention which qawm he was from. They say, مِنْ أُمَمِ الْمَاذِيَةِ, from one of the previous nations. This man used to worship Allah abundantly. Then one day he thought to himself that, you know what? I'm spending all my life worshiping Allah. Maybe I should just chill a little bit, relax a little bit, and sin a little as well. So he started sinning, he started doing haram. He thought, you know, when I get old, when I reach death, then I'll make tawbah when I'll get old. Like many of us think. Today we're young. Many girls, they think, you know, why should I wear the hijab today? I'm still young. Guys think, why should I pray today? I'm still young. When I'll get old, then I'll do it. My grandfather, he became pious when he was old. My grandmother became pious when she was old. Right? When I get old, I'll do it. So this person thought, when I get old, I'll start worshiping Allah again. Let me take a little break right now. So in that period where he started disobeying Allah, all of a sudden the angel of death came to him. And when the angel of death came, he said to the angel of death, give me a few moments, let me make tawbah. And the angel of death said, there is no tawbah for you. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said in the Quran, أَن تَقُولَ نَفْسٌ يَا حَسْرَةَ عَلَى مَا فَرَّطْتُ فِي جَنْبِ اللَّهِ وَإِن كُنْتُ لَمِنَ السَّاخِرِينَ أَوْ تَقُولَ لَوْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ هَدَانِي لَكُنْتُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. So then at that point when your death comes and you haven't repented to Allah, then you'll begin to hold big wishes and big desires from Allah. And start blaming Allah, oh Allah, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you give me hidayah? When in reality, the ball is in our court. My dear brothers and sisters, let us use this opportunity, this day, this night, to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we have no idea how long we have left until the angel of death comes and knocks on our doors. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all the tawfiq and ability to make sincere repentance. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts all of our repentance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us for our major sins and our minor sins. Qulu ameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us for our sins that we committed knowingly and the sins we committed unknowingly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us for the sins that we committed in the day and the sins that we committed in the night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins, the sins of the entire Muslim ummah, the sins of our parents, our family members, and our kids. And Allah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us all to stand on the Day of Judgment with a clean slate, and even better than that, many mountains full of good deeds. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.